Chanan Adat, the first bracha in the weekday middle brachot. We're going to read the bracha in Chavruta out loud. The first box is the version that we say today. Those of you who daven Nusach Ashkenaz, we say Dea Bina V'Haskel. Those of you who daven anything but Nusach Ashkenaz, you say Chochma Bina V'Dat. So that's the bracket there in the first box. So it's not that you say them both, you say either or. And the second box is a version from the Eretz Yisrael Sidur of Chonen Adat. The scholar who did the work on the Geniza for the Weekday Amidah, it's an amazing book. Tfilat Amidah Shel Chol, like through the Geniza, published by Yad Ben Tzvi. He goes through every bracha, brings you all the manuscripts from the Geniza. He collects about 500 manuscripts of the Weekday Amidah from the Geniza. And basically, there are only, for any given bracha, there are only about 12 that are Eretz Yisrael, straight up Eretz Yisrael Geniza material. So it actually is kind of a miracle that we even have the Eretz Yisrael Sidur at all, even with the discovery of the Geniza. Meaning like a good 90%+ of the material in the Geniza, that's the Sidur, was Bavel. Or sometimes a mix of Eretz Yisrael Bavel. But the like straight up Eretz Yisrael material, there were only about 12 that he found in those 500 manuscripts. Anyway, so one of them is here. And what I brought in the brackets here is two versions of that.
Why the verb chonen as opposed to, you know, natan or something like that?
Yeah, natan dot or hamilamed adam dot from Psalm for Monday. So. And I'm going to heighten your question. If the Sidur takes its cue from the Tanakh, where those verbs like lateid and lelamed are associated with dat, and once in the Tanakh does the verb chonen have the object dat, then why, all the more so, capital W-H-Y, why would they use chonen to grace us with dat, or the gracer of dat, as opposed to those other verbs?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Other questions? Let's put questions on the table. Yeah.
Why don't we have a melamed bina in the Chatima?
Yeah. Right? In other words, we say umelamed la'anosh bina. So why do they circle back to atah chonen la'adam dat, baruch atah Hashem chonen adat? Yeah. What's the role of bina and lilamed bina? Is it different from chonen adat? Is the verb lilamed different by character from Chonen? We had an option to end with Melamed Bina, but we didn't choose it, so why? I'm just restating here.
Or why don't we do both?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we saw Shover Oivim Umachnia Zedim.
Yeah.
So you could have done Chonen Da'ad Umelamed Bina. Good.
We didn't talk about this, but it occurs to me, why Adam and Enosh? Mm-hmm. Why such universal...
why not us?
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, because in Eretz Yisrael they didn't do that.
Well, okay, so right. So you can see also in Eretz Yisrael, Adam and Enosh are not there. I mean, there's a few differences, but you're saying, if I'm understanding your question correctly, why is this more universally oriented? Right. Teaches Adam wisdom, and Enosh, like Anashim, Bina, as opposed to the Jewish people, right? These are slach lanu. It's not kol ha'olam kulo, right? It's us. So how come this is more generally oriented? And he's just saying, in the Eretz Yisrael version, it's choneinu, right? Choneinu avinu, which are both plural possessives, presumably the praying congregation, not the entire world. So we had a choice, and we went with Adam and Enosh. Why? Okay, good. Other questions? Yeah, please.
This bracha is the first one of the bakashot.
Right.
And in the Eretz Yisrael version, it really starts with a bakashot.
Ah.
Chaneinu Mavenu. Here it starts with this proclamation.
Ah, okay. Amazing. The Bavel version starts, Atah chonen la'adam dat, which is a description, not a request. What's the next bracha that comes after this one? Bracha da Hashem chonen adat. Hashiveinu, which is a request.
Yeah.
What happens after? I would say b'tshuva. Next one is? Slach lanu, a request, right? Refa'enu. All the other brachot are opening up with requests, right? With a bakasha. So how come? And the Eretz Yisrael version opens with a bakasha. So we know he could have opened with a bakasha, choneinu. So how come we're saying instead at atah chonein, which is more, what does that sound more like? What are the previous ones? Friday night ataki dashna or atakadosh, right?
It's shevach.
Right. It's a description.
There are kind of a bracha trope. There are a number of brachot that start things off by saying atah something or other.
Correct. And by the way, which brachot are they? So okay, how does the amina start? Baruch. Atah. How's the second bracha go? Atah Gibor. Third bracha. Atah Kadosh. Fourth bracha. Atah Chonein. How about on Shabbat? Is it Atah Kidasha? Atah V'chartanu on festival. Atah Echad Mincha. How about Rosh Chodesh?
Atah
Yatzarta. Rosh Chodesh on Shabbat. And we had festivals. And what about Shabbat morning? That's Musaf. Tikanta, also Ata Tikanta, but not Moshe. And Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe has no business at all in that pattern, right? Every other fourth bracha of the Amida is Ata, right? Except for Tikanta, but still, Tikanta is I'm addressing you, but it's a backward alphabetical crossing. Yismach Moshe, another shir. Okay, but just notice, meaning what you're expecting in the fourth bracha is an atah chonein, mm-hmm. even though what you also are expecting is a bakasha, which you see in the Eretz Yisrael version. And so you have this kind of like swing status of the Bavel version of this bracha, where the first sentence is, you know, looks like what came before, and the second sentence, choneinu, is what's coming down the line. And this is sort of like the transitional bracha, playing that role there. But yeah, please.
The association between binah and this bracha, havineinu, havdala bracha, gets put into this one. Mm-hmm. And what's up about that? And how do we understand mm-hmm. that binah in terms of how, whatever the other two words are, the what's going on?
Okay, good. So havineinu. You're saying two things. You're saying there's atachonein la dam dad, and then on Saturday night you say atachon antanu. What comes next? Atachon antanu limada toratecha. Okay, so you graced us with the knowledge to learn your Torah. What knowledge do we have in the Bavel one here? Unspecified, right? Dat, not dat toratecha, bina haskel, bina dat. That's what you have. Right.
On Tzei Shabbat, you go into all of these different kinds of bina stuff, and they're all discernment distinctions.
Good. Okay. In Havdalah, right? But Havdel Bain X La Y.
So Havdalah belongs in.
Okay. Good. And the Gemara agrees with you. What's the leitmotif of Havdalah? Lavdil is to separate, but Lavdil Bain X La Y. Bain is bina, meaning. When I can see the difference between something, I have bina, right? So that's part of why it makes sense for Havdalah to be in here, which just elevates the bina question. Why do we have the dot question? Why isn't it melamed bina as opposed to chonein adat? But okay, yes, Havdalah. Then you said something else before when I heard, which is havineinu, right? The havineinu, which is not atachon antanu, but havineinu.
Yes.
Right? Which is the summary Amida, right? If you don't have enough time to say all the bakashot in the middle because you got to get to the board meeting, right? So you're just going to say them all at once, and they have one bracha at the end, which is Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tfilah.
Right.
Each bracha gets a little phrase. Mm-hmm. What's the phrase for our bracha? Ladat Rachecha, right? Havineinu, give us bina, to know your derech, to know your ways. So what you have here is, on the summary Amida, a Bavel, meaning it shows up, Shmuel is the one who reports that, so it's a Bavel text. Havineinu has an object to the knowledge, which is your ways. And on Saturday night, you have an object to the knowledge, which is Ladat Toratecha. Right. And then you get to the Bains. Here, I'm emphasizing for you how open-ended these words are in our bracha. When you would have, and indeed in other versions of this bracha, get direct objects of what kind of knowledge it is, in ours, you do not get that. Notice in Eretz Yisrael, we say, right? Lamdeinu bina baskel mitoratecha, or ha'ira inenu lishmor mitzvotecha, right? Maybe I should, what do I need to know? I need to know how to do your mitzvot, right? That's what I need to know. That's very different from Adam and Enosh, Daven enosh don't need to know your mitzvot. So just to like emphasize how open-ended, universal the knowledge that we're talking about here could have been closed with a direct object, a modifier of what kind of knowledge, but they don't do that.
We were noticing the difference in the Ashkenazi and Sephardi lines. We have Haskel versus Chokhmah.
Right. Is there something significant to the difference between Chokhmah and Haskel, Seichel? Right? And each of these, what is Da'at indicate? Is Da'at different from Bina, different from Haskel, different from Chokhmah? How am I supposed to make sense of that? By the way, there are Moshe Chalamish did the work on this, and he does all the work on the Kabbalistic versions of the Sidur. And it's Chokhmah, Bina, Vada'at seems to come somewhere from the Ari circle. And of course, there are also versions that are not just Chokhmah, Bina, Vada'at, but they also throw in Haskel. Are they just piling on of synonyms? Or is each one to indicate something different? Right. And if so, what's the difference? Okay, good. Other questions? Yeah.
Aren't we asking for something that we already have here?
Oh. Meaning? Say it, just spell it out.
For example, when we say atachonantanu,
yeah.
I already have the dad.
Yeah.
Here I'm asking God to give me dad. Aren't we wired with that?
Yeah, good.
Even the sechvi has binale avchin ben yom uben laila.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't have it.
Yeah.
I have to request it.
Yeah, good. I'm asking for something that I seem to already have. In fact, we'll look at an opinion that says, the only way you can know how to pray is with da'at. If you didn't have the da'at, you couldn't even formulate the prayer. So what exactly, what kind of da'at are we asking for? If it has to be something other than the ability to have da'at the way we think of it, because we already have that. That's what separates us from the animals.
That's not unique here, though. Like, we ask God to help us pray in the midst of prayer.
Yeah, right. It's not unheard of to, yes. It's sort of like, do I have some of it and I want more?
Right.
Or is it something that I have access to, but not right now? We can play around with it. And you're right, there are other examples of that. Yeah, you were saying.
I wonder why da'at first and not refuah. Like if you're really dying.
The order.
Like, yes. Lama dafka this.
Yes.
Because if you're barely living.
Yes.
You know, and you can even have dementia and still pray. You may not remember the past, but I can pray in this moment.
Yeah.
I pray that I could remember the things I can't remember.
Yeah.
You know, so is da'at really everything? Do we have to start with da'at?
Do we have to
Should it not be refuah?
Right. The Amida, the Bakashot have to start somewhere. Yes. Why do we start with da'at? You could have started with, you know, the Rambam says, you know, you got to have health before you have health and wealth before you can start, you know, contemplating God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like Maslow's hierarchy. So, you know, why start with the da'at? Now, you always have to ask with rabbinic texts, is the beginning of something the central thing? Meaning in a structure in which the, like the Shema, right, liturgically is between brachot. So the thing, the most important thing is not Yotzer Or, the most important thing is the Shema, which is in the middle.
So why is this the first bakasha? I finally get to live a keshmashu, this is my bikush.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just saying, you don't always have to think of it ordinarily, even within the bakashot.
Okay.
But it's still a reasonable. We nevertheless think of it ordinarily, and like, why start with this? Why start with this particular request? You could have started with refuah or slicha or any of those things.
Meitcha.
Yeah. Meitcha.
What the syntax of that
phrase little clunky.
comes afterwards is not obvious.
Yeah. Meitcha. What would you have said? Chonenu.
Mimcha.
So, yeah, right? I think that would have rung more directly.
Well, I'm still not sure what it's saying. Like, it's saying, give us
something from
your
da'at. Yeah. You have, right. Is it your da'at? Is it you have the ability to grant the da'at? Is that exactly like, your da'at? Notice the De'a Mincha shows up in the Eretz Yisrael as well. I mean, there's something about that word that is significant to this bracha, not random. Because
but it's not any obvious.
But it's not obvious from
you. Would, you have the bina ve'askel mitoratecha
in the Eretz Israel one.
Meaning it doesn't come straight from God meitcha. There are two sources of
two sources, right? Right, and is meitcha stand in for toratecha or is toratecha and itcha meant to be equated? Is they a higher level? That it comes directly from God, and your Torah is something that's like lower level, more accessible. Come.
Thank you. Bina and Haskel stem from Torah Techa the same way da'at stems from itcha.
Right. But then
it's not de'at Torah, de'at et Toratecha.
Right. In this text, correct. But I'm just asking, are those, does that mean de'at is higher because it comes directly from you? And being an Haskell is lower because it comes from your Torah? Or is your Torah and you equated, and therefore they're all sort of like synonyms for each other?
Yeah. I'd say,
you, okay.
On this, Deah comes first because Adam, the Gan Eden, ate Sadat.
Ah.
So maybe that's like an earlier.
Ah, okay, primal, good. So now primal. we're moving into some of the other things that we could explore on this bracha, which is to say, why is Adam there? Why is Enosh there? And what is the relationship between those two biblical characters and Dat, Bina, etc., as opposed to just a stand-in for humanity? Now, again, for those terms, it can go either way. Who are the other people? Who are the biblical characters mentioned in our Amida? Just so we throw them out there. It's a non-zero number. Okay, you have, right, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David. You would have expected, was that? Yismach Moshe. Another super strange thing about Yismach Moshe is that Moshe is in it. Can you name me another part of the Amida? Moshe! Like top, what, three daveners of the Jewish people doesn't show up. We're heading to Pesach, so we know that Moshe doesn't show up in the Haggadah. But Moshe also doesn't show up in the Amida.
And in Geula.
What's that? He's being in Geula. It's true. In the poetic version of Geula that we have.
Yes. Moshe is also never Sameach. He's like the biggest curmudgeon.
Exactly. Right. He's but give me one adjective to describe Moshe. You say, oh yes. I say Moshe, you say
it's
Simcha.
The
not exactly. okay. Next year we'll do Yismach Moshe. Fantastic. Fantastic prayer. Okay. Let's explore some of the ways in which we can understand this. So let's go down the Adam and Enosh path for a second here. You already mentioned Dat and Adam have a deep connection. How would you characterize the connection between Adam and Dat? Let me put it this way. From the Bible's perspective, true or false? True or false? Atah chonen la Adam harishon Dat.
False.
Meaning the most false. How did Adam get that Dat? Stole it, right? Okay. Now, the relationship between the word Adam and the word Dat, when you're starting from the beginning of the Torah, is quite significant. You're going to see them overlapping. The eights that we're talking about is Eitz Hadat Tov Vara, which means what? Eitz Hadat Tov Vara. What kind of Dat are we talking about in that story?
Morality.
Yeah, so one possibility is morality, although the problem with that is, if I don't want you to have morality, then how are you supposed to follow a rule? You know what I'm saying? Meaning, I told you not to eat from the tree, and then I ate from the tree. Well, how could you do that? But I didn't know what was right and wrong. Like, I don't know my left from my right. So, okay, so one possibility is morality. Other possibilities, just what happens when they eat it? What God do they get?
Sexual awareness.
Yeah, right. The sexual awareness side of things. Maybe it's sexual morality, right? But they definitely, that's the thing. When their eyes are open, they realize that they're naked. V'yedu ke'erumim heim. Any other possibility just on the Eitz Hadat Tov Vara? Like what we might be referring to that we...
Which fruit is poisonous? Which fruit is not poisonous?
Okay. Yeah, good. We're going to come back to what the fruit was. Eitz Hadat Tov Vara. What else could it be? Now I have Eitz Hadat Tov Vara. What kind of knowledge do I get as a result of eating from that fruit?
Same knowledge that God has.
Maybe it's Tov Vara, meaning like and everything in between, like Shamayim v'Aretz.
Right.
You know, it's not like now I know about Shamayim and I know about Aretz. It's like Bereshit bara Elohim and Shamayim and Aretz means everything, right? Merizim, exactly, right? Everything in between. So maybe Eitz Hadat Tov Vara is now I know everything that God knows, even though I guess that didn't exactly play out. Maybe we didn't eat enough of the fruit, but maybe that's part of what's going on there. What are the options for the fruit? If you remember any of them from the discussion. Grape, fig,
etrog.
Yeah. Etrog.
Wheat.
Wheat.
Yeah.
The wheat one is the one I mean, oh, they're all awesome. None of them is the apple. Someone just came out with a book about how the apple got to be the fruit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chita haita. Not exactly a fruit. I mean, would you be tempted by a wheat stalk? That's what I want to know. Okay. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda is saying chita haita. And then look what he how he deduces that that's what it was. She'en hatinok yodea likrot abba va'ima ad she'it om ta'am dagan. Right? A baby doesn't know how to say abba and ima until they taste the taste of grain, right? Which I sort of equate to by the age that kids are eating solid food as opposed to, you know, straight up mother's milk.
It's causation correlation. It,
potentially, but
chitah connected, it's not exactly, but chet.
Well, that's interesting.
That's the difference between what is right and wrong.
Right, a hey olive switch.
Right.
That would be good. But at least Rabbi Huda's explanation for it is the thing about chitah is it's the thing. What knowledge do you gain as a result of eating chitah? It's now you know how to call ima and abba, right? Which is both your first people that you interact with, presumably, but also the most fundamental relational knowledge that you would have. So you start talking about sexual knowledge. There's a aspect to sexual knowledge that's relational, right? Relational knowledge, and that's what I think is sort of nice about this is there's like the dot that Adam HaRishon got was the ability to connect, to put into words how I relate to you. I now can call you Abba. I can call you Ima. Right? I didn't have that knowledge before. Why God would want to prevent that knowledge is unclear, but all these knowledges is a little bit unclear why God would want to prevent them. But so is the dot that I might be asking for, if you think, Atachonein la'adam dot, you grace Adam with the ability for relational knowledge, right? To make those core connections. Maybe this is also like, why does it have to start off this way, right? This is the start of human existence, like from any dot angle is, now I can call someone that I love by their name. I can say their name. And that's kind of what I'm doing in the Amidah, is I'm saying God's name like over and over again. That's the sort of relational knowledge side that I might be playing with here. Okay, so Atachonein la'adam dat, and also I think part of what, if you are reading this as Adam HaRishon, Adam of the Tanakh, it's also kind of like an attempt to rewrite the way in which we acquired that dot. You know, let's just put aside that story of, you know, the snake, Chava, and all that, and the punishments. Now, like, what if we could, like, start again, you know, and we're just going to have this other approach to dot that comes instead of the, like, the first round of this. So maybe there's, like, a slicha, tshuva element, which, of course, follows dot when you think of it framed in this way. Yeah.
Well, and I'm looking at Chonein Hada'ad at the end in the Fatima that it completely recharacterizes that notion of the knowledge that given.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that knowledge itself was not bad.
Yeah.
That knowledge was good.
Me'idcha, right? It's like, choneinu me'idcha. Right. Give it straight from you. Let's not play the games with the tree. Like, I just want this directly from you. It's the relation. It's like, let's rewrite this in a relationally sensitive way. You know, I want it to be graced. Maybe we have to tell God, Atachonein la'adam dat is not so obvious. You know, God is actually very protective of dot.
Maybe that's the prayer part, that it's unmediated, simplified.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which would also help in the beginning of the bakashot, you got to get that out of the way before you can start asking for anything else. You know, it's like, let's start with the core relational work that we need to do. Now we can start with health and, you know, all the other stuff. Okay, that's Adam. How about Enosh? You remember where we are in the story here. Perek Daled, you've already had the first two kids didn't work out so well. P.S. Don't name your child Hevel.
Yeah, no,
it's not going to work out for them.
Or Cain.
But Cain, you know, Kaniti Yishad Elohim. But let's go with Shait. Ki Shatli Elohim Zera Acher. Tachat Hevel Ki Arago Kain. Okay? Vayeda Adam. This is a sexual knowledge. Okay, that's where we're starting. Ulishet gamhu yulad ben. So Shait has a son, Vayikrat Shemo Enosh. His name, in other words, Adam and Chava's grandson is Enosh. Az huchal likro b'shem Hashem. It was started to call out B'Shem Hashem. Exactly. So one way you can think about this is, again, why am I starting with dot? I gotta get Adam in there, rewrite the dot thing, have the relational thing. Enosh is the first guy who prayed, or is the generation of the first people who called out in God's name. Likro B'Shem Hashem might be complementary to the sacrificial offerings that Cain and Hevel, much like in our own tradition. We have to think of like prayer replaces sacrifice, but definitely they were also praying in the Mikdash.
They were definitely doing
Musaf, and it was a lot tastier than ours. So Azuchal Likro B'Shem Hashem maybe is added to the technology that they had of Cain and Hevel of just doing the offerings, but they're calling in God's name, which seems to be like a reference to tefillah. Umilameid la'enosh bina. So what's the bina that Enosh is learning? Maybe it's davening, right? Now I know how to pray, how to call out in God's name. And indeed, you said like we already have dot, but maybe the specialized dot of prayer is something that we actually need God's help with, right? Adonai Sfatai Tiftach, La'adam Archelev. We have all these ways in which we use certain sukim to say, I can't do this on my own. I need some help from you. Ufi Agiti La'techa. Then I'll be able to speak to you. We have, Alan was sort of referencing this before. Rebbe Amar, Tameani. This is a great question. I don't know if you ever thought about this. You know, on Shabbat, we have a different Amida. What goes out the window on Shabbat? The Bagashot, right? Yeah, 13 of them. You still got Ritzay and Sim Shalom. Yeah. The snuck-in bakasha. We've been sold a line that we end with gratitude. It's very Jewish gratitude. Two-thirds of it is actually just some request, right? Yes. Right? Modim, that's gratitude. Okay, but yes, the main bakashot are out. Rebbe says, Tamiani, heyach bilu chonein hadad b'shabbat. How could they cancel chonein hadad on Shabbat im ein dea minayin tefillah? If you don't have any knowledge, how are you supposed to pray? So it's maybe it doesn't have to be a bakasha. Maybe it's simply just a, like atachonein, like atakadosh, atagibor. Maybe I just need to state it. I need to connect to the dot thing. But Rebbe is asking a pretty good question, which is, okay, I understand you don't want to talk about like refuah on Shabbat. It's a downer. It's a bummer. Even though we have Shabbat Melizog, we have ways to do that too. But how come we didn't sneak in a bracha for Dea? Dea is the fundamental basis of tefillah, he says. Which I'm saying is makes sense in an Enosh world. Dea and tefillah are intertwined. If you don't have Dea, you can't do tefillah. So even if you don't like his question about Shabbat, what his assumption is, the connection between dat and tefillah is very strong. In other words, you could think of atah chonein la'adam dat, chonein mincha dea. What I'm asking for is the ability, the knowledge to pray, right? If I don't have the knowledge, I can't pray. So what am I asking for in the beginning of the Bakashot? I need the knowledge to be able to pray, right? Which is maybe related to the relational side. Ima Abba, I'm calling your name. Likro B'Shem Hashem. But there's something about tefillah that needs some sort of dea. And maybe, at least according to Rebbe, it's like a good place to start on those Bakashot. It's like the Uber Bakasha. It's like, I need this just as like a, like to set the table, then I can start going down. And then you might ask, okay, so they didn't cancel the Amidah on Shabbat, so then where's your dad on Shabbat? You gotta have it, yeah.
Can you say a little more about what kind of wisdom do I need to pray? I mean, if I'm in pain and I'm crying out to God, if I'm grateful and I'm thanking God, I mean, the essence of prayer, do I need special knowledge to do that?
Duh, yeah. That is a great question. Meaning, the emotional tools or the instincts that I have to cry out. By the way, prayer, Adam, it's a universal thing, right? All peoples have some form of prayer. All cultures have some form of prayer. So it can't be like a Jewish-only thing, right? Meaning, humans know how to cry out. That is a human instinct, not a Jewish instinct. It's not, you have to learn it in school. Everybody has some way of arriving at that, and that's the challenge on this. But maybe there's something about the dot is the, I don't know, either it's the more advanced form of that, which the tefillah is not the same as like spontaneous prayer, or it's the, I need to have some tefillah relationship with God if this is going anywhere. In other words, I can cry out, but like, what is that doing? You know, like the priests of Baal were also crying out, but like, what was that doing? Mm-hmm. You know, I need to have some sort of like God connection, even though I know how to feel the emotions that lead to prayer.
Dot?
Rebbe thinks that dot and tefillah are, you can't have tefillah without dot. So in answering your
Rebbe this question.
Exactly. Yes. I wish you were here to tell us. But I'm wondering if it's like, this is how I connect to God through prayer, as opposed to this is how I formulate words of prayer, or you know, express my emotions in prayer. It's the part of God in the equation that Rebbe might be saying, yeah, that's the dot. Dea mi'edcha. I need some sort of connection with you. Yeah.
If we ensure that the element of intimacy is always a part of dea, then that explains the kind of relationship, the knowledge of God, the kind of an intimate knowledge of God.
Yeah.
The kind of knowledge that Moshe was looking for at the end of Kitei Sefer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Kitei Sefer or Kitisa.
Kitisa.
Right. Yeah. Right. But yes, which we'll look at as well. I think there is that desire. Praying is one thing. Crying out is one thing. Crying out to God is another thing. It's related, but it's they're not exactly overlapping. And so there's that intimacy side of it as well. Okay, now we can go another step on the Az Huchal, because of course, Az Huchal Likro B'Shem Hashem sounds good. Then Huchal, it's a little bit of a strange word, right?
Right.
It's not exactly Lachil. What's the other thing you see in there, Huchal?
Chol.
Az well, they don't point it, right? But is there some chol aspect to likro b'shem Hashem? So this is where our tradition reads this line. Enosh is not actually the davening giant,
right. But
instead is the one who blurs distinctions. Okay? So take a look at the Rashi, the third box on page 3. Az huchal.
Lashon
chulin. Right? Chol. Likro et shemot ha'adam vet shemot ha'atzavim bishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La sotan avodah zara likran elohut, right? So what they learn to do is to call whole things by the name of God. This is the generation where we learn to be idol worshippers. We were good for two generations on that one. Generation 1, apple. Generation 2, murder. Generation 3, Avodah Zarah. It did not take us that long.
I mean, that's the pshat of that line. Az huchal likro b'shem Hashem.
Exactly. If you read huchal as lashon chulin,
right,
as opposed to la'achil. Four things happened in the generation of Enosh, etc., etc., and they became vulnerable to demons. They were responsible themselves for becoming vulnerable to demons, for they argued, what's the difference whether one worships an image or worships man? That's why it's written, Az huchal likro b'shem Hashem. They couldn't tell the difference anymore. The bane, the ability to do bane kodesh l'chol was gone.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the bina, right, to be able to do that. And so as a result of blurring distinctions, they started to pray to trees when they should have been praying to God. Exactly. Milamedle Enosh. Enosh is the guy who gets blurry on what's holy and what's profane. I want you to teach Enosh / me, Bina, the ability to distinguish between what's holy and what's not holy. Because I have a hard time with that distinction.
And looking at the difference between chonein and melamed,
right?
That the nature of dot is it's free, right?
Should be.
It's that you can't buy it.
Yeah.
You know. So, whereas limud by its nature is expensive.
Mm.
You know that you got to pay for limud. In radically, it's an ox goad.
Mm.
You get learned something. Learning is painful. Learning is expensive, as opposed to the chinam. So dat is this thing that comes free. Umilamed leno bina, discernment to be able to tell the difference between one thing or another. That's a costly thing. But Ribbono Shel Olam, you give us both of
them.
You give us this one.
The chain comes at the end too.
Yeah.
Good. I like it. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about the verb tense then. It's not tichinanta, it's not tichon, right? It's
right.
Not, it's you're in the process of, you process are doing this, right?
Correct.
And so given what the rabbis, you know, are saying about Enosh, right? Again, are there other places where he's in a more positive light, right? I mean, with the Bereishit Rabbah, it seems like, you know, potentially not. Is it, as you said before, kind of like trying to gloss over? Is it an apologetic? Is it, you know?
Or maybe it's like a reimagining, you know? Like, if we could start again from the beginning. Here's some things that we messed up, round one. We didn't really get the dot in the right way. And the Bina thing, we had some problems with. We ended up worshiping trees and rocks. And so...
But, so it's like, if you had given...
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Nice. Yeah.
If you had given Adam, you know, Da'at, and if you had given Enosh Bina...
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Yeah. You
know, think of what could have happened, and so therefore give us those things
yeah.
now.
Yeah, like, let's start again. Let's start over. Let's start this relationship anew. Yeah?
Well, it's like, God, you have the choice.
Uh-huh.
You have the choice to give us this.
Yeah.
And you didn't choose that the first time, so right. Choose it this time.
Right, right. And the whole question
of holding it back, give it freely. Right?
Give it freely.
Instead of putting it behind, you know.
That's certainly with the Adam thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, apparently, we needed a little bit more tutoring on Bina, on Bane. We didn't get the Bane thing down. We just Aviva Zornberg has a nice... reading of this, I brought it on page 4. When Enosh was born, it was then that men began huchal, to invoke the name the Lord, Hashem, by name. This is interpreted by Rashi to mean that people began to call human beings and natural phenomena by God's name. That's what we saw. At that time, in other words, people lost the capacity to discriminate, to differentiate between God, man, and nature. A linguistic rigor was lost. And then this is, you said, the march to the flood. And at that time, by no coincidence, a third of the world was flooded by the overflowing ocean, which is another Rashi later on. This can, of course, be read as sin and punishment, right? In other words, you did Avodah Zarah, now you're going to get drowned. It can also be read as an objective correlative for the blunted distinctions and misarticulations by which people then define themselves and their place in the world. In other words, when the floodwaters seep into, when water moves into place that's not supposed to be, that is nature's blurring of distinctions. Right? The whole thing of creation was, water, ikavu amayim, you stay here, right? No more chaos. Everything's going to be held in, and there will be a distinction between land and water. And this is what the flood generation was unable to hold on to distinctions. And so they got what was coming to them. It all got swept away because that's what happens when you can't tell the difference between a person, a tree, and God, right? And so what we need is, milamed, anosh bina. Like, we need that ability to put in the distinctions again because otherwise we're all going to get lost in the blurriness. Okay, so we've got Adam, Enosh, Chochma, Bina, and Dat. Where does that show up? Chabad. Yeah, they made a whole big thing out of it. How about in the Torah?
It's in Devarim. It's Tavuna, right?
Tavuna. Yep, you've got it. Who's the guy who's got...
Oh, Bezalel.
Bezalel, right? We're headed to that... we just did Parsha Shavua. Okay. What is the dot that's happening with Bezalel? Re'eh, karati b'shem Bezalel, Sail El. Az huchal likro b'shem Hashem, ben Uri ben Chur lemate Yuda, va'amaleoto ruach Elohim, b'chokma uvitvuna uvedat uvechol melacha. Right, he is the guy who literally embodies chokma, bina, and dat. And what does he do with that? In other words, if I was going to define chokma, bina, and dat with Bezalel as my embodiment of those traits, what do I get? What am I asking for?
You get the Mishkan.
Yeah.
You get a place for God.
Yeah, exactly, right? A world-building ability, right? God is going to dwell in the Mishkan, the dwelling place of God. And guess who else has Chochma or used Chochma, Bina, and Dat to build a world? God. How do I know that? From a few other texts that we know from the Siddur, right? El Baruch Gedol Dea, Hechinu Fals Arechama, right? God makes the world with Dat. Or, from the El Adon one, Dat Udvuna Sotimoto, Tovimoro Chabar Eloheinu Yitzaram Bidat Bibina Ubaaskel. We've been saying it all along in El Adon, but the melody was too good, we didn't notice. Okay, right? So the Dea, Bina, and Haskel that God has creates the Me'orot, right? It's the world building. The Tzalel, the shadow of God, creates the shadow world of the Mishkan, like the microcosm world. And God, the actual God, creates the actual world. Asher bidvaro ma'ariv aravim b'chokhma poteach sharim uvitvuna mishane itim. Right? It's not, you didn't just make the world, you also made it continue to cycle through. Umavdil bein yom uvein laila, right? That first bracha in Maariv is about the knowledge, the chokhmah bina that is making the world continue to run.
Look who gives the chokhmah to Bezalel. Who gives it to him? It says, I have given this to him.
Correct. Which is why you might want a verb limalot.
Different verb, right?
That's right, as opposed to chonein. Yeah. We'll get to the chonein in a second, but yes, right? That also, this gets to Guido, to your point of like, well, hold on, what happened? Va'amaleoto ruach Elohim. What happens in that interaction? God gives Bezalel these characteristics, but what was Bezalel starting with? Right. In other words, was it nothing? Or was there something there and God sort of emphasized, sort of, you know, pressed the gas on it? This is what this Midrash on the next page is dealing with on page 6. V'amale oto ruach Elohim b'chokhma shekvar haita bo chokhma. Right? He already had chokhma in him. Bezalel didn't start from nothing. He had chokhma in him. L'amercha she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu m'male chokhma ela l'mi she'yesh bo kvar. Right? God doesn't give chokhmah except to those who already have a little bit of chokhmah. I got to give me something here. I got to work with something, right? And God, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, k'sheroeh ba'adam sheyesh bo ruach chokhmah, mimal'o. God just fills them, tops them off, right? They've got a certain amount of chokhmah, and I'm going to v'amaleo to, I'm going to fill, heve, that's why it says, v'amaleo to ruach shekvar ayabo. You already had some ruach chokhmah. And now I'm gonna fill you up. That's also sort of like the, are we coming to this relationship with absolutely nothing? Do we have no dot whatsoever? No. There's some, at least in the Bezalel model, there's something God is working with here, and I'm just taking you up to the next level. But it's not like I start from zero. It's not like nothing is ever there to begin with.
Right, but it's not that, I mean, Bezalel had the requisite level of chokhmah,
right,
so that God said, okay, I'm going to give you a lot more.
Right.
God isn't just going to do that for anybody.
Right. Right? Unless...
you got to be a Bezalel.
You right. So Bezalel is the highest level.
Right. To get
not all of us can build the Mishkan.
To get the high octane.
Right. But maybe right. God is going to limalot, you know, is the chain that's at play here. You have zero dot, and I'm going to just gift it to you. Or is there, you got something, and I'm going to take it up a notch.
Right.
Maybe it's not here and here like Bezalel, but it's not completely Ephes. Again, you don't have to read that way.
Right,
but I'm just
right,
like,
right, right. No, that's
there's
right.
Yeah.
All the Bakashot are that, though, because it's not just requesting, it's also, they're also thanking, ultimately, right? Like, yes, it's requesting.
Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael. You are healing.
Yeah.
It's not that I want you to.
And we've, like, and we've seen these things, you know, we're praying these every day, right? Like,
it's an ongoing thing.
If we're praying it every day, are we starting at, like, if we are saying that we're starting every day at zero, then our prayer wasn't answered yesterday.
Right.
Which, you know, is complicated for other of the Bakashot, right? So we're always starting with a little bit of what we're asking for.
Yeah. Good. Plays off this.
I'm sorry.
Malay. Go ahead.
Just one more quick thing.
Yeah.
Like, we all, God created us all, like, we all have some chokhmah. And in the prayer, I guess we're praying that let us be open to getting a little bit more chokhmah from you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
But we have to be open to that.
Yeah.
Activate
what we have already.
Yeah.
And be ready for more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always approached not always, but if there's something I'm sitting on,
yeah,
something that I want a little bit of extra insight on, this has always been like one of those. Like I've sort of thought about it.
Hmm. In your Amida.
Well, in my Amida.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, give me a little something. Yeah.
So I love that.
That sort of speaks to it.
Right, right. I have something, but I don't have it all.
Yeah.
So on the question of Chochma, Bina, and Dat, we already explored. Maybe Dat is for Adam and Bina is for Enosh. Dat is relational and Bina is distinction. There are ways in which they are not synonymous with each other. It's not just random adjectives that mean knowledge. But also, are you trying to like really... But then in the series that we saw with Bezalel, they're kind of all in a row. So maybe like all of them add up to world building. There was, of course, attempts in the Middle Ages to define each as its own thing, right? Because there's no such thing as a synonym, you know? Everything has its own. If you said it, it's got to mean something distinct, right? So I just brought you a few of these examples. Some of them overlap a little bit, but it's Rashi, Lekach Tov, and Sajigon. So Rashi, on page 7, B'chokma, this is all commenting on Bezalel, but it's the same terms that we use in our bracha. B'chokma, ma she'adam shomea me'acherim vilamad, right? What you heard from others, that's how Rashi defines chokma. Tuvuna, here it's not distinction per se, but mevin davar milibo, mitoch devarim shelamad. Maybe that's the, I already have it in me. It's the, these are the things that I don't need someone else to teach me. I already have it within me to understand it. And I just need to think about it a little bit or something, right? It's not something that I need someone else to teach me, like Shomea Me'acherim. And then Dat is Ruach HaKodesh, right? It's not all up to me and my human teachers. There's another possibility in there. So Lekach Tov, 13th century, Chochma Milimud, Hatvuna Me'atzmo, that seems to overlap with Rashi, and Hadat halomed davar mi davar, the you know davar mi toch davar, like the esoteric thing, the thing that's not so obvious to understand, which might be the same as Ruach HaKodesh, or maybe not, or for the you know rationalists among us, then you want to take God out of the picture, right? So here's one way of doing that. It's something other than I can just learn in a classroom or figure it out myself, and then Saje Gaon, Chochma. What you learn from Rabo. Tevuna, what a person arrives at one's own without a teacher. Batsmo, belimore. And then Dat is what a person discovers through research and investigation. Hakira udrisha. Now, drisha might be seeking out God, Drosher Hashem, but you could have like a whole system in which God doesn't play any direct role at all, right? Saja Gaon may have you know, come up with that. I don't know exactly what that is from. What the distinction is between number 3 and number 2 of learning something on your own without a teacher. But it's interesting that all of them have this idea of at least 2 out of the 3, one is from a human teacher, and one of them is from my own internal abilities. Right? That's, and I want God to provide, reading it into our bracha, I want God to provide both of that to me. I can't do it all by myself. I need your help. I need the teachers to also have help. And I'm asking for that whole system to be. Any thoughts or reactions to those distinctions? Again, they're not looking for the synonymous, oh, it all means the same thing. But here's some way of like thinking about acquiring knowledge in different ways. Any of them particularly resonate for you?
Implicit in the bracha is a blessing for teachers.
Correct. Exactly.
Kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, that is nice. If you're saying this version of it, the one with the chokhmah. But yes, I want my teacher to be able to be successful.
Oh, but you also have a Zik name, Chavet Yisrael.
Correct, Pletat Sofreim. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Originally, and in Eretz Yisrael, it's only about Gerim. The entirety of that bracha is Gerim. And think of that, what's the extended definition of Ger? Ger Tzedek. Right? So the Mishanu Miftach Latzadikim. Or in Eretz Yisrael, they just have Miftach LaTzadikim, could be Ger Tzedek, meaning the Tzadik and the Ger are actually the same. And when you put that, what's the bracha that precedes that? Vilamal Shinim. You have the oivim, the rishaim, the malshinim, the mishumadim we saw. Those are the guys going out. And then there's the gerim. Those are the guys coming in. Right? The guy's going out, I got something to say to them, and the guy's coming in, I got something else to say to them, right? But it's just like, and then it gets, like, we tzadikim, chasidim, tzadim, chabet Yisrael. Okay. So there's no chonein adat, there's no verb chonein with the object dat, but there is, in the Torah, one spot where chen and dat both come seven times. That is in the parsha we just read. When Moshe wants to know God, right? Like the most intense dad bracha there is in the world. Like, will you please show me your ways? Will you reveal yourself to me in like a direct, intimate way? So I bolded for you the places in which that these words show up over and over again. But you can even see it. The best example of it is in Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'ata, Moshe speaking. Imna matzati chen be'inecha. Hodieni na et derachecha, ve'edaacha, liman emtzachen beinecha, ure ki amcha hagoy hazeh. Now just look at the structure of that pasuk. Why do you have to say, imna matzatichen beinecha, liman emtzachen beinecha? Right? But it's clearly there's a chiastic structure that's going on here where matzatichen A, hodiani B, edaacha B, emtzachen A. A, B, B, A. What's in the middle of the A, B, B, A? Ladad et derachecha, your ways. Right? So there's something about the chon, the chen, the chonen, and the dad that happens in this scene, like over and over again, but like really in this pasuk, where Moshe is saying, I want to know your ways. But it's not like, I want to know your ways because I'm taking philosophy 301. It's like, what's the point of this? I want to know the ways in which you'll see ki amcha hagoy hazeh, that this nation, this sinning nation, is actually yours. Because what does God say to Moshe, right? Oh, those people that you took out of Egypt. It's an amazing moment, right? They're your kids, okay, right? They are sinning, and I, God, want nothing to do with them. In fact, I'm leaving, and I'll be sending a substitute messenger, Malach, instead. Like, talk to you later. And if you try to bring me back, I'm going to destroy everybody because I can't handle how horrible they are. And Moshe says, that sounds good. I'd like to be protected. No, Moshe says, I'm not leaving until you come back and be in the midst of this people. Right? So the derech that Moshe is looking to know actually is the one in which God is our, like, is with us, which of course is what God promises all the time. But in this moment of, you know, our failing, God is like, I'm out of here. And then we eventually get to it, right? Because this is in chapter 33. But eventually we get to, what is your derech? Oh, your derech is Adonai Adonai El Rachum B'Chanun, right? I am going to come back. I'm not gonna put a malach here instead. I'm gonna be the one who can handle you. That's the Havinenu, which I brought at the bottom. Havinenu nainu ladat derachecha. You can see it's just straight up quoting from this section of the Torah. Moshe says, I want to know your ways. And we also say, as a substitute for this bracha, teach us your ways. That is to say, the way in which you are rachum v'chanun, which might then lead to slach lanu, Hashiveinu, the things in which, if we don't set up right now, God, I want you to grace us with the knowledge that you are the kind of God who can do slicha, who can do rachum v'chanun, right? If we don't have that relationship, there's no sense in any other bakasha. Like, the game is up. Let's start off, but yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we worship the golden calf at the very first moment we're left alone. And still, we want to come back. So I need to know that these are your ways before we can actually move forward on those other items that we're asking for in the bakasha. So that's why I think, like, why is it chonen adat as opposed to lelamed adat? It's because it wants you to take you to this scene in the Torah. They had to push you there, right? Because anybody who knows, like, the Bible is like, why is it chonen adat? Literally, it doesn't, that has never showed up in the Bible, but it has showed up in the Bible in this scene, just not as a verb. But if like the chen and the dot is all over the place here. And to that end, the last piece that I wanted to leave us with is the dot that Hashem has of us. This is Moshe trying to get the dot of what Hashem's ways are, which Moshe wants to be Rachum v'Chanun, and God wants that too. Doesn't always get there. God has to pray about it. But also there's the knowledge that God has for us, which anyone ever studied with Devorah Steinmetz, wonderful teacher of Gemara? Anyways, we're publishing a book of hers. She has a wonderful essay called To Know and Be Known in this book. And she cites this pasuk as a way of identifying what da'at is when God knows you. So just take a look at 9. This is the people know how to pray. Vayishma Elohim et nakatam. God hears their cries. Pesach. Vayizkor Elohim et brito. Et Abraham et Yitzchak ve Yaakov. Vayar Elohim et b'nei Yisrael. Vayeda Elohim. God sees b'nei Yisrael and God knows. What do you mean God knows? God knows what? What did God know in that moment? It's the empathic knowledge, Deborah argues, it's the empathic knowledge God is able to see, Vayar Elohim ben Israel, to hear, Vayishma Elohim et nakatam, and as a result, God knows your suffering, Vayeda Elohim. So it could be also that Atachonen la'adam dat, the dot that we might also be praying for is the ability to know and hear the other person's suffering, right? That dot that God demonstrates in this moment of stepping back in to save the people from slavery, we want to have that ability as well. And of course, the Torah tells us that we have that somewhere within us. V'ger lo tilchatz, you shouldn't oppress the stranger. Why? V'atem yidatem et nefesh ager. You know yidatem. Dat. You know the way the ger is. You know the ger from the inside. Ki gerim me'itim eretz Yisrael. So there's some sense of the knowledge that I want is not just this intimate relationship, Moshe God, but also I want to be able to know, to hear the cries that God heard from us, that we hear from the ger. And that's also part of like the most important bakasha. You know what I mean? Like the other guy, yes, I need those too. But like this is like a core Torah value of you need to know nefesh ha-ger, just like God knew you and your suffering.